Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, my next guest says the new coalition is in a bit of a pickle when it comes to Israel, and that in recent days it's been made abundantly clear by the Trump administration that if the Irish government doesn't change tack quickly on Israel, the annual St. Patrick's Day meetings and festivities will be affected and relations between the US and Ireland will suffer. John Deasy is a former Fine Gael TD and former Irish envoy to the US Congress on Immigration during Donald Trump's first term, and he joins us now. And John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Sarah.
A very, very interesting article you wrote, or opinion piece you wrote in the Business Post at the weekend, and maybe we might sort of pick through some of what you said there before we look to what happens next. And as I say, you said in the article that you believe it's been made abundantly clear by the Trump administration that Ireland needs to change tack on Israel, and if not, relations will suffer. How has it been made clear, do you think?
Yeah, I think we already have evidence of that. I think it was made clear recently by people within the Trump administration to the government to drop the Occupied Territories Bill immediately, and I think that's what's happened. I think what caught my attention was about a week ago, the Israeli ambassador, or departing Israeli ambassador, made a comment about Irish politicians being blinded by their hatred of Israel, and I just don't think that's true. You know, when it comes to the Occupied Territories Bill, I think it was more about getting elected, to be honest with you, and taking the path of least resistance before a general election. It's about not incurring the wrath of I think was a very pro-Palestinian electorate in Ireland, and I think the government took the more publicly acceptable pro-Palestinian side, and, I don't blame them for doing that. We've all been horrified by Gaza and what's happened there, but I think it was safer electorally to do that. But I also think it was about not allowing Sinn Féin to capitalise on their links. Sinn Féin have a lengthy and pretty close relationship with the PLO, and we're in pole position, really, to gain electorally. And I suppose this bill goes back to 2019 and letters that were sent by many members of Congress to people like Leo Varadkar. And for about 4 years, it was made very clear by the government that it was unimplementable and it would not be taken forward. And it changed. And, the mood changed with regard to the bill as the election neared. And if you go back even to October of last year, it was after all of the denials and the announcements that the bill would not be taken up, it was announced that there would be a technical blockage of the bill would be removed and allowed to pass committee stage. It never happened. I think the clock was run out on purpose on the bill overall. I think the government didn't want an electoral backlash on Gaza. The question is,
there's an awful lot in what you've said there, so I just need to sort of bring you back a little bit.
Go ahead, yeah.
So in terms of, if we might go back to 2019, as you say, with the Occupied Territories Bill, and then the mood changed, you say, as an election approach, but that wasn't the only thing that changed. I mean, the war and the conflict in Gaza was also something that changed, and also there was this advisory opinion from the ICJ, and the thought that Micheál Martin pointed that specifically as the International Court of Justice, they gave an advisory opinion in July which said that Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territory is unlawful and should be brought to an end as rapidly as possible. And the thought that pointed that specifically as the reason for the Occupied Territories Bill being able to now go ahead.
Yeah, which begs the question, why wasn't the bill moved and allowed to pass committee stage as announced? The change did happen pretty quickly. Simon Coveney was very adamant with regard to this piece of legislation. The mood changed very quickly when it came to this bill and moving it forward. It never happened. And to be honest, it was about getting over the hump of the election, marking Sinn Féin and neutralising them on the issue, because you know, politically, people felt that they would capitalize on the issue.
I mean, and again, let me just challenge you on that aspect then, because I'm sure Simon Harris and Micheál Martin and others in government would robustly defend their bona fides in their actions and their statements when it comes to what's happening in Gaza and why they took the actions that they did in the last government in relation to Israel and Gaza. They did that out of a passionate belief that it was the right thing to do as opposed to trying to mark Sinn Féin.
Yeah, I think over the next 6 weeks or so, we'll find out whether that's true or not, and whether or not there will be some rowing back on the Occupied Territories Bill and the entire stance. You know, in the view of Israel, Ireland took some very hostile stances, such as recognising the state of Palestine and joining the International Court of Justice case on genocide, as you mentioned. The question is, will the shelving of the Occupied Territories Bill be enough to avoid a problem in the near future, particularly in Washington in March? And everyone knows that
I'm going to interrupt you again in that part because I'm very interested in what you have to say, but just on the different points so I don't miss them.
Yeah.
You keep saying the Occupied Territories Bill has been shelved. Now, the Programme for Government does commit to progressing the Occupied Territories Bill. We had Dara Cleary on this programme last week and he said the government is firmly committed to passing the Occupied Territories Bill. Like they are not conceding that this legislation has been shelved. Or at least the point of the legislation.
The bill is being renamed.
Yeah.
It will no longer be the Occupied Territories Bill. That bill is gone. It's being redrafted completely. Every section completely rewritten, amended. The Occupied Territories Bill has been sent to committee and it's being buried.
You don't think it's ever going to pass?
Well, why rename it if that's the case? I think you move it forward, I think, to Washington. And I think everyone knows we have a unique kind of setup in Washington, that we use Washington kind of, to sell Ireland, to maintain really strong political links. But I think it's now clear. U.S. officials have been involved and they have made it clear to the government that they needed to ditch the bill. And now it's a question of what comes next, if anything. The problem we have in Washington, generally speaking, is, and I said in the Business Post yesterday, that we have a big bullseye on our back in Washington without even getting into a conversation about the Middle East. Mm. A lot of Republicans have been vocal about Ireland poaching U.S. corporations, and a lot of Democrats aren't disagreeing with them. And now our political leaders, realize that Israel is still upset, and they also know how incredibly powerful the pro-Israel lobby is in the U.S. And we found that out in the last 18 months. It's amazed people. I think Micheál Martin is writing op-eds today in the Irish Times about anti-Semitism. Mm. He's in Auschwitz today. And I think that they know that there is healing to do before the March events in Washington.
And you think that's what this is all about?
I think that they are painfully aware that Israel sees the actions of Ireland as being unforced in some cases and hostile, whether that's true or not. I think they understand that Israel feels that way. And the question is, has enough been done with the shelving of that bill to prevent retaliation coming into the next few months?
And if it hasn't, and we might get in a second to the moral and ethics of all this as opposed to the realpolitik of it, but if it hasn't, what then do you think in terms of what measures might the US take in terms of putting pressure on Ireland to try and force us into what sort of backing up do you think? I mean, for example, the recognising of the state of Palestine or joining the ICJ case. Do you think
that's a very hard question to answer? Being prognostic with regard to what specific steps are being taken, I don't know. But I mean, the obvious target for Israel would be the St. Patrick's Day festivities. It's very, distinctly Irish. It's uniquely Irish. It's something Irish politicians cherish because of its unique nature. And, it's the first Trump administration. There were people there who were humming and hawing about the St. Patrick's Day festivities. In the end, Kevin McCarthy stepped in and kept it the way it was. But if you're asking me what steps could they take to derail Ireland or hurt Ireland, curtailing those events is probably something that they could do fairly easily if they put their minds to it. Yeah.
And if we bring it back home then, John, as you say, there's a pro Palestinian sentiment in Ireland. People feel very strongly about it, and certainly all the political parties in advance of the election were reacting to that, certainly, and reflecting that. So if the government does start to row back on things like the Occupied Territories Bill or other actions that it has taken, will there not be a big domestic backlash?
Well, I think they already have. And, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, I go back to that October 31st announcement where, you know, they said a technical blockage of the bill would be removed and allowed to pass committee stage. It's didn't happen. And, you
know, we're told now there's constitutional problems, is the advice.
You know, that was always the case. I mean, it was always the case that there were issues with EU law and constitutional problems. Why then did they say that those technical issues had been removed and would pass to committee stage? It was about getting over the hump of the election, really. It was about neutralising Sinn Féin.
Okay, this I think, as I've said, I think Simon Harrison and Micheál Martin would very strongly reject that, and that they were acting in good faith in terms of the actions that they took. But I take your point, and it's a very interesting article to read. Can I just ask you, finally, Donald Trump has, sort of separately, Donald Trump has vowed to crack down on illegal immigration if returned to the White House, and of the 12 million or so illegal immigrants in the US, the undocumented Irish are understood to account for, I think, in around a low five figure within that. What do you see happening to them, the undocumented Irish?
Every day it seems there's another hardline executive order on immigration. Unfortunately, they're being cheered on by a good majority in the US. Within the Republican Party, there's overwhelming kind of support, almost complete support for what Trump is doing. He can't do any wrong. Last week, a Republican congressman dropped a bill, renaming Dulles Airport after Donald Trump. Another fellow basically introduced legislation so that he could run it for a third term. That's the kind of mood that's there. What worries me is when I look at the legislation that's been passed in the last week, a lot of Democrats are piling on this. Ireland's undocumented population living in the US, they're beginning to feel like hunted animals right now. But the place that you'd normally look to for support would be the Democratic Party. And last week, to give you an example, there was the passage of the Laken and Riley Act. It was named after a Georgian nursing student who was murdered. And it would make it a lot easier to deport someone after being charged with a crime, not necessarily after they'd been convicted.
Okay.
What I noticed was 12 Democrats in the Senate voted for final passage of that bill.
Okay, so there's
and
a change
the mood
there.
In America has changed generally, and that's the big problem.
John,
you can't stop them enforcing their laws, but normally we would have had some help from the Democrats. And that's shifting a bit.
John DC, thank you very much for joining us.